So, as I hope you know, you're very welcome this morning on the third Sunday of Epiphany. And I've got Jean Hurd from Luxbeer, who's going to help me lead the service this morning. And I hope you can see your order of service sheet. So, today, Lord God, we come before you, as was the custom of Jesus growing up in Nazareth. We await your word to us now, just like those who waited while he spoke in the synagogue after his ministry had begun. May we hear your call and stand with him and with one another to serve freely in the work you have given us. Amen. And a prayer of adoration. God of heaven and earth, we kneel in adoration before the mystery made manifest in your Son, Jesus, who stood with us as one of us. So we stand with one another in adoring you by living the way of love and life he showed us, setting us free to serve in the fullness of your grace. Amen. And a prayer of confession. God of healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears, and despair and lay them at your feet. God of healing, God of wholeness, we hold out hearts and hands, minds and souls to feel your touch and know the peace that only you can bring. God of healing, God of wholeness, this precious moment in your presence and power, grant us faith and confidence that here broken lives are made whole. Help us to lean on you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to learn from you. Help us to follow you. Help us to spread the good news.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you came proclaiming the good news of God and endured the cross through love for us. Through your sacrifice, we are forgiven. May we share this good news so that others will know your loving freedom in our lives. Amen. And so we turn now to our Psalm 19, a great psalm of praise. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the world, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
This reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31a. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, I would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, to the feet, I don't need you. If there are many parts but one body, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greatest gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And so we turn to our canticle, words from Isaiah 42, and we say together, I have given you as a light to the nations, and I have called you in righteousness. Thus says God, who created the heavens, who fashioned the earth and all that dwells in it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, and I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the captives from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. I have given you as a light to the nations, and I have called you in righteousness.
This reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is filled in your hearing. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. I've reached that time in my life when, even though I hate to admit it, some parts of me are not working quite as well as they once did. My knees, for example, give me some jip, especially when the weather is cold and damp. My eyesight is not what it once was, even with glasses and especially at night. And why, oh why, does everybody mumble these days? They need to speak up. The body, not necessarily my body, you understand, is intricate and complicated, beautiful and varied. And it is the image Paul uses to describe the church. All Christian believers, Paul explains, make up a single body. As the Message translation of verse 12 puts it, you can easily see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you are still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. That sounds great, doesn't it? The trouble was that the church in Corinth, that wasn't how things looked. The Christian believers were still living independently, individually calling all the shots, and living their partial and piecemeal lives. In his letter to them, Paul is trying to give them advice and to help them. There were several disturbing things going on in the church in Corinth. There were personality clashes which had got out of hand. There were disagreements about whose gifts and talents were the most important. There were rifts among members based on class and status and money. And all these things would come to a head when the believers met to worship. Remember, this is a time when people didn't meet to worship in church buildings. They met in houses. Those who were wealthiest had the biggest houses. They could act as hosts. It reinforced their status and their importance. They were supposed to be sharing bread and wine, the Lord's Supper, but because they were able to, these events had become elaborate feasts. The friends of the hosts could arrive early and bag the best seats for themselves. They ate and drank with their friends. It was all marvelous. It was wonderful for them. By the time the other believers had finished their day's work, their manual labour, and turned up to church, most of the food had gone and the wine had been drunk, and they felt very out of place and awkward. They weren't feeling the love, because actually there wasn't any, at least not for them. In writing this letter, Paul is trying to point out to the church in Corinth that this behaviour is inconsistent with being a follower of Jesus Christ. What they were doing was replicating what happens in the world. The Christians were being just like everyone else. And Paul is saying that the church should be different, noticeably different. The community of the church is not a club. It's not like any other sort of community. It's based on faith and it's driven by the Holy Spirit, or at least it should be. I sometimes wonder if an alien from space came and witnessed our lives, would they notice the church as being any different from any other sort of human gathering? Would they realize that we are believers in Jesus Christ and that we behave differently from those around us? That our priorities are different, that we treat people differently, that the greatest become the least and vice versa. That our church communities are fully diversive and fully inclusive, or that they are full of people just like us, who talk like us, who look like us and behave like us. By way of explanation, Paul uses the image of the body. A body is one thing, but it has lots of parts: hands, feet, arms, face, and all sorts of other parts that have names, but I won't mention them this morning. All those parts are needed. Boy, you know it when one of those parts goes wrong or is missing. You need a foot just as much as you need an arm. And then there are the unmentionable bits. Even though they are unseen and not spoken about in public, we treat those bits with honour. We know how important they are. So Paul says, because we have been baptized through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have become part of this one body, the Church of Jesus Christ. If you are a hand, you have to get used to the fact that elbows and knees are of equal importance. If you are a foot, you need not consider yourself to be of inferior value to a tongue or an eye. Stop putting yourselves down. Stop raising yourselves up. And if some of you are those unmentionable bits, don't ignore them, don't look down on them, treat them with the greatest of respect. We are members of the body, but this is not like the membership of a club where you can opt in or opt out. The membership Paul is describing is that we are inextricably bound to one another and to Jesus Christ. And to pull this apart means dismembering the body. It means pain and blood and tears and huge, huge damage. There is nothing so damaging as division in church. It takes years to recover, and just when you think you have recovered and the past is well and truly behind you, the same issues can crop up again. We divide the body. We take sides. We mutter and moan about one another. We want to have our own way. We cling on to our independence, our autonomy, our importance, and we create division and disunity. I believe passionately in our unity. Wherever there is unity, I believe that the Holy Spirit is there, especially when it is hard won, when we have to give way to others, make concessions and compromise, and work hard to value one another. It is why I believe passionately in the strength of our mission community, a family of 9 churches together, a body, not 9 independent, separate churches operating without a thought or concern for the other. It is why I believe passionately in this, our weekly Zoom and conference call service. People from St. Peter's, the Valley, and many other places, the fit, the strong, the weak, and the fragile, coming together as believers in Jesus Christ, the body, the church, being together, worshipping together, growing together is our strength. This unity is painful, and pain has a way of grabbing our attention and making us take notice, even a tiny pain from a paper cut. Paul says that if one part suffers, then we all suffer. We are connected. We are part of each other. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, a work of her power and her grace. We share in one another's suffering, but we also share in one another's joy. As the message puts it, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never, ever forget this. Let us thank God that we are the body of Christ here this morning. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We now join together for the intercessions. We are one body. We rejoice in our diversity and the gifts that each person in this fellowship brings to the body of Christ. Lord God, when one is honoured,
we are all honoured.
We pray for those who lead our nation, our church, and our communities. When one is in need,
we are all in need.
We pray for those who are working for peace around the world. When one suffers,
we all suffer.
We pray for those who seek your healing in our community. We bring before you Jacques, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Gordon, Richard, Camilla, Brenda, Robert, Tim, Adi, Michelle, and Nigel. When one leaves us, we are all bereft. We remember those who have died in faith and those who are bereaved. We remember this morning Kim Goesworthy, Eric Heath Coleman, Beryl Short, Joan Gibson, Valerie Lord, Mary Ross, Ian Fraser. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Amen. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The collect for the third Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weaknesses, sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, our Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Believing the promises of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ the Son, perfect in you the image of his glory, and gladden your hearts with the good news of his kingdom, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, and those we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning for our morning's worship. It's been lovely to have your company. First of all, I have been asked to see if it would be possible for us to move the time of this service from 10 o'clock to 9:30. If you've got any feelings about that, or if you feel that would be impossible for you, or you don't mind, it'd be great if you could just let me know. As you can probably gather from what I've said, I'm deeply committed to keeping this service going for as long as it is needed, but we might need to consider a shift in the time. So please ping me an email or phone me and have a chat about it, or leave a message on my answer phone. Absolutely everybody's opinion is very important to me, and I don't want any of you to feel that you can't join in with this anymore because of the time. The coffee morning on Wednesday morning is going on Zoom as usual. Please do join us if you would like to. And the Bible study continues on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. The Zoom details are on the end of the order of service sheet, and the telephone number, if you wish to join us by phone, is the same. So thank you very much once again for your company. Thank you, Jean, for helping to lead the service. I'm off to Loxbier now. And so is Jean, actually. So we're going to zoom down the hill, and hope to see you soon. God bless. Bye-bye.